Our Father, we are grateful unto you this morning, and it's our prayer that as we are going into your word, that the Spirit of the living God will breathe on this word and make it a great blessing to all our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, we do not want to hear the voice and the voices of men. We want to hear directly from you. Father, we plead that you will speak directly from the throne of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. And as your word will go out, Lord, it will break yokes. It will destroy every works of the devil. It will bring hope in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us see you. Let us see your works. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will first thank the pastorate for the opportunity to share with us this morning. And what's the title of what we'll be sharing together is The Mercy of God. The Mercy of God. And our text will be from the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1 from verse 2. Ezra chapter 1 from verse 2. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts. Beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. As we read this passage, and we see Cyrus making all these statements, the immediate thing that will come to the mind of anybody is that the person that is speaking must be a child of God, or must be an Israelite, or somebody that has a relationship with God. But let's go back to that verse 2 again. It says what? Thus saith Cyrus, king of where? Persia. Praise the Lord. So this king has nothing to do with Israel. He had nothing to do even with God. He had nothing to do with the covenant and everything that we know about God in the Old Testament. And despite that fact, look at what is coming out of his mouth. He said, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he had charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. And then he started to talk to the people of God. And at this moment, Judah, Israel, was in bondage. But despite the fact that he had nothing to do with God, God found him as an instrument to achieve his purpose. Praise the Lord. And then there is that important thing that comes to mind. The intentions of God can never be ransomed or held ransom by any limitation. At this time, God was ready to do something. And it was challenging because the only vessel that was available was not having anything to do with God, was not having anything to do with the covenant of God. But despite that limitation, the intention of God did not suffer any ransom. Praise the Lord. And really, I want us to see a lot about this. It wasn't just an ordinary thing, so that we will understand the importance of this truth. In Ezra chapter 4, after those utterances from Ezra, then from verse 1, now let me read. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, now follow this story. Israel was in captivity, and it is in the land of captivity that this is happening. God wanted to do something for his children that are in the land of captivity. And the first thing I've shown to us is that he found a vessel in the king, in the president of the people of the country where Israel was in captivity. And the president has given order. And then in this chapter 4, they said the adversaries. Because you don't expect the citizen where you are held captive to be in support of your progress. But the first thing is the fact that God captured the heart of the president. But the people were still against Israel. So when the president gave the order, then the people were still against Israel. And that's why he said, they started to build. Israel started the journey of their delivery. But the captive, the adversaries, they came to them. Now verse 2. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asur, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together we build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, had commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. And they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now let's look at verse 6 now. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of the reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam, Mithridat, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions on Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian language and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. Then wrote Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Danites, the Arphaxads, the Tapilites, and the Apasites, and the Akivites, the Babylonians, the Susachites, and the Dehavites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nation whom the great and noble Asnapar brought over, and set in the city of Samaria, and the rest that are on this side the river, and at such a time. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king. Thy servant, the men on this side the river, and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundation. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom? And so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king, that such may be made in the book of the records of thy father. So shalt thou find in the books of the record, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and an hurtful one unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. And let's jump to verse 17. Then send the king in answer unto Rehum the chancellor, and to Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and to the rest beyond the river, peace and at such time as this. The letter which he sent unto us has been plainly read before me, and are commanded, and such had been made. And it is found that this city of old time had made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. Take it now, that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the heart of the king? Now when the copy of the king's letter was read before Rehum, and Shimshai the scribe and their companion, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jew, and made them to cease by force and power, then cease the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. We read a lot of passages, but I needed to do this to give us a background. So this is Israel in the land of bondage. And you can see that the Bible said, even in the reign at the time of Cyrus, there were opposition. When Cyrus left, there was Darius, there were opposition. Then there was another king, there were opposition. And even now, this is another king again, they were still writing the letter. Now let's look at chapter 5 from verse 1. We read a lot of passages. Then the prophets came. The prophet Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesy unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophet of God helping them. Verse 3. At this time came to them Tatnai, governor on the side of the river, and Shetar Boznai and their companions, and said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of the Lord of the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they would not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. And then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. The copy of the letter that Tatnia, governor on this side the river, and Shetar Boznai and his companion, which were on this side the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the provinces of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid on the walls, and this word goeth fast on. As we are reading, the picture that I want us to get in our mind is this. Why will it be so difficult that you have foreigners in your country and you are against the foreigners, but you can't do anything? The first king came, the second king came, the third king came. All this activity is in the reign of another king. And it was even still difficult for them to be able to do anything against them. Praise the Lord. In verse 9, then ask we those elders. These are the indigenes now. Again, they've reported before. They went and they saw that Israel was still continuing. Then they came now and they are reporting to the king again. And they said, then asked we those elders, that is the Israelites, and said unto them thus, who commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? We asked their names also to satisfy thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servant of the God of Israel and art, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God, and the vessels of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus, the king, take out the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, who he had made governor, and said unto him, take this vessel, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in its place. Now let's read verse 17. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be a search made in the king's treasurer's house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so, that a decree was made of Cyrus, the king, to build this house of God at Jerusalem. And let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. Praise the Lord. Because I want us to get the story. So the captives are making case for themselves in the land of their captivity against the indigene. If you remember, the indigene went and they were going from rain to rain. This is just another rain. And with this letter, the captive were making a counter letter that the reason why we are building is because there was a king that gave us authorization. Search in the archives and find out whether it is true or not. And I keep asking, who gave the captives this latitude in their captivity against the indigene? Praise the Lord. Now, let's read chapter 6 now. Then Darius the king made a decree in support of the Israelites and say, search. And search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Achmita in the palace, that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. And therein was a record thus written: in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus, the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offer sacrifices, and let the foundation therefore be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. Let me just jump because of time. In verse 13, then that verse 12, and the God that had caused his name to dwell there destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God, which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. So eventually, the king made a decree. And they found out truly that Cyrus actually wrote that letter. And Darius supported that the letter should still be implemented. That's the one I read in verse 12. So I've been making us to understand that they were in their land of captivity. And God was now ready to deliver Israel from the land of captivity. And you notice that even though he was in the land of captivity, there was nothing the indigene could do to stop the work of God. Because where we started from is, when God is ready to perform a particular intention of his, nothing can constitute a limitation to the execution of his intention. Praise the Lord. And this is a very good picture. He was ready to deliver Israel. Cyrus was reigning. Nobody could stop him. Then there was another king. There was a second king. Then there was a fourth king. And the inhabitants rose up against the intention of God. And they make every move, but they were still not able to stop the execution of the intention of God. So the smartest thing anybody can do in this world is to make the pursuit of your life the intentions of God. Because when the pursuit of our lives is the same thing as the pursuit of God, it means that the pursuit of our life can never experience any barrier or any difficulty. Praise the Lord. And that's the first part of the message. Now, Israel was in bondage because they sinned against God. Actually, let's open our Bible to 2 Kings chapter 21. There was a particular king in 2 Kings chapter 21. The Israelites, they have been in good relationship with God all along. But when we go to this particular king, 2 Kings chapter 21, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He was the worst king. But unfortunately, he was also the longest serving king at that time. But I want us to see what he did. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal, and made a groove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Maybe because of time. If you read further, Manasseh did everything possible to make God angry. Anything imaginable. Now, in this place, we were told that he worshiped anything you can see on the sky. He raised altar for every possible idol in the same temple of God. In fact, there were spaces created for prostitution in the court of God. So he went too far to make God angry. But you see, God never did anything. Let's look at verse 10 and 15. God never got angry. In verse 10, and the Lord spake by his servant the prophet, saying, because Manasseh the king of Judah had done these abominations, and had done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and had made Judah also to sin with his idol. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. So I will shorten some of the passages. God became so angry that he said he would do this evil. But he still never did anything. But in verse 16, despite the words of this prophet, in verse 16, Manasseh, we were told, went ahead to continue to do more evil. So in verse 16, the Bible says, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he had made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of God. And after he died, then his son came and became king. Unfortunately, his son also continued in the path of his father. The son continued to do evil. But despite that fact, God still did not do this thing he had against Israel. And in 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah came on board. And when Josiah came on board, Josiah was a good king. And Josiah did everything possible to do the right thing, to undo all the evil that Manasseh did. Praise the Lord. And you think that was enough and that should appease God, which is understandable. Even at this stage, God did not still do anything against Israel. But immediately Josiah died in Genesis, in 2 Kings chapter 23 now, from verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 23 from, maybe let's just see verse 26. Verse 26, he said, notwithstanding, despite all the things that Josiah did, God was angry, but he never made it to come to pass. So in verse 29, in his days, or maybe let's move forward a little bit, in verse 31, now after Josiah died, there was a new king. There was a good thing done by Josiah, which was a good trend to turn away the anger of God. In verse 31 now, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Amutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Nibna. Now verse 32, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. I just use that as an example. And from this point onward, all the kings that keep coming, they were doing evil upon evil. And the anger that God held all this year, he just released it. And that's what led to Nebuchadnezzar coming and took over all Judah and took them captive. And they were now in the land of captivity. But even in the anger of God, let's see Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Even in the anger of God, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, you can see that God was still very merciful. As he was angry despite all the evil that has been done, he was also equally making provision for the delivery of Israel. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. If you have read what Manasseh did, if you have also read what all the other kings after Josiah came, you would think that God should just be totally angry and just destroy them. But as he was sentencing them to captivity, then he was saying this. He was also at the same time planning for their delivery. You know, I said we are talking about the mercy of God. So with that step, you will notice that God does not throw away the baby with the bathwater. That the judgment of God, it is not fatal. The even in judgment, you will always see the element of mercy in the judgment of God. Praise the Lord. No matter the extent of our sin, of our reject of God, the heart of God still longs towards us. And that's what you see here. And that's what you also see, that when they were in the land of captivity, he went all out to deliver them. These were the people that were totally against him. So God does not throw away the baby with the bathwater. And the judgment of God is not fatal. In fact, if you understand, nobody can go outside of the reach of the mercy of God. No matter what we do, the mercy of God will still be available to us. And the mercy of God is also not prejudiced. The mercy of God is not temperamental. The mercy of God is enduring. The mercy of God is patient. Praise the Lord. when the mercy of God visited Israel, it gave them victory over racism. It gave them victory over nepotism in that land. It gave them victory over envy. It gave them victory over rejection. That's how far God went in executing his mercy. And you see that the mercy of God was an evidence of his love. So mercy is generally a mercy of God, or an evidence of the love of God. So as we understand this mercy, I will say this, and David also said this when he sinned against God. He said, I prefer to fall into the hands of the devil. It is generally safer to offend God than to offend any human being. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God, but it's also safer to fall into the hands of God because of the mercy of God. When you fall into the hands of men, you are in great trouble. But when you fall into the hands of God, in judgment, God is merciful. So you also fall into the hands of mercy. You don't even make any attempt to fall into the hands of the devil, because the devil will just finish anybody off. So most times, people misrepresent God to the larger audience. And because of the misrepresentation, sometimes when people find themselves in sin, then they start to run away from God because they do not understand the mercy or the nature of God. The majority, they emphasize the anger of God. And they don't paint a better picture of the character of God. I've given you an example, there's no time. You will have seen the worst thing that Manasseh did. And despite that fact, God was still merciful in judgment. So this morning, I want us to understand that God is merciful. God does not condone sin, but in your sinful state, don't run away from God. His attitude or disposition against sin does not reach the point of fatality. It's the same God that we still run to save us, to deliver us. Praise the Lord. I want to do two juxtapositions for us. After Solomon died, Israel was divided into two. There was one section, 10 tribes, and they were called Israel. And there were two tribes, and they were called Judah. All the story we read now, they were the stories of Judah. Judah was the only one that God followed. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. When he came on board, the people came to him and they asked some things from him, and he reacted negatively. It was Jeroboam that led the people. And when Rehoboam reacted negatively, Jeroboam led them and said, let's go and start another country. They left. But the lineage of the will of God was the lineage of Judah. And when Jeroboam started the other nation, 10 tribes, there were about 10 kings. None of them were faithful to God. None of them. From Jeroboam to every of the other kings, none were faithful unto God. And when the captivity came, the whole of Israel was sent into captivity. We read now about Judah, that Judah came back. None of the 10 tribes came back. Praise the Lord. It was only Judah that came back. One of the big lessons to learn is that be careful of the team you join. Be watchful of the foundations of the team you join. That section was started in rebellion against God, and their destiny was totally evil, and they were eventually destroyed. And they never seek the face of God for anything. Praise the Lord. But Judah, it was Judah that in Daniel, we read that Daniel was praying about the 70 years. Because God has promised them mercy. So Daniel took the revelation and he was praying and he was repenting. He was desiring that God would fulfill the mercy. But there was nothing from the other side. And that's the thing about this mercy that we have talked about. I've told you, God will not throw away the baby with the bathwater. Even in judgment against any evil anybody has done, God is still showing mercy. And no matter the extent of any evil, most time people will say it is because I have done terrible evil. If I go to God, he will not accept me. God's mercy will always reach anybody at any point. And God's mercy will not discriminate, will not prejudice. But you must understand how to key into this mercy. The 10 tribes of Israel never bothered to turn to God. And they were wasted away. But it was Judah. Everybody understand? Daniel prayed. Daniel turned to God. And it was because Daniel turned to God, and God now came and manifested the mercy. And that's why you read that the Persian king stood up. Let's read it again as we round up. In Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Because they recognize God and they turn to God. Now let's read from verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord did what? The Lord did what? He stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, to the point that Cyrus made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing. So if we will key into the mercy of God, we will not run away from God. Like the prodigal son did, it is generally safer to offend God. It is generally safer to go back to God that you offended. So the prodigal son came back to God, came back to his father, and what happened to him? He was received. So this morning, I want us to key into the mercy of God. Those that have been running away, it is safer to fall into the hands of God. It is a hand of judgment, but it's also the hand of mercy. And when mercy visits you, mercy will make you to prevail, the examples that I have, against prejudice. It will help you to prevail against racism. It will help you to prevail against rejection. There's no time to read about Jacob, how he prevailed in the house of Laban because of the mercy of God. Jacob did not deserve the thing that happened in the land of, in the house of Laban, because Jacob was manipulative. And he thought his manipulation would work. But God still allowed miracle because of his mercy. All the sheep that were giving birth, Jacob did the manipulation. It was God that made it to work. He worked out of the mercy of God. When mercy visited Jacob, you see, he prevailed against the prevailing nepotism in the land. So I want us to close our eyes. And we, wherever our situation is, I want us to key into the mercy of God. If you keep running away from God because your hands are deep in evil, honestly, you are doing yourself more evil. It is safer to offend God than men. But it's even worse to offend the devil. So I want you to come to God on your own. Just come to him. There is a song. Just as I am with the heart warm plea. So please avail yourself and talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. That's the first aspect. No matter the extent of the evil, it is still safer to go back to God. And I want you to ask for the mercy of God. Lord, show me mercy. Lord, show me mercy. Lord, show me mercy. Lord, I pray for your mercy. Lord, I pray for your mercy. Lord, I pray for your mercy. You know the things you've been dipping your hands into. And by yourself, you have been disqualifying yourself. Say, I can never be used of God. I can never be closer to God. I can never have a deeper relationship with God. It's a lie. So I want you to plead for mercy. I want you to plead for mercy this morning. I want you to plead for mercy. That the Lord will visit you with his mercy and the Lord will break the yoke of sin. And finally, everybody, I want us to seek for the mercy of God. In your situation, especially if you are in a situation where people are prejudiced against you, where people are working wrongly against you, where you are experiencing rejection, where you are experiencing nepotism, where what is supposed to be given to you is not given to you. Let's pray for the mercy of God. Where you think because of your state, you may not be able to get this or get that. I want you to pray for the mercy of God, that the Lord will visit you with mercy. that the Lord will prevail for you in your situation.
Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. We are pleading for mercy. And when you are pleading for mercy, you are throwing yourself before the presence of the Lord to, you know, to just have mercy upon you. And when you cry for mercy, you do not have any legal ground on any other thing. You are not claiming any right on anything. And the first thing is, I want you to, you know, empty yourself as you are pleading for your for mercy of God, and tell the Lord, ask the Lord, Father, I know I'm not worthy, but let your mercy answer for me. Let your mercy answer for me. Let your mercy answer for me. I am crying for mercy. I am crying for mercy. Many of us, we cannot open our mouth and cry for mercy. That blind man, yes, he didn't deserve to be healed. He didn't deserve to be healed. But when he cried for mercy before the Lord, the voice of mercy entered to the highest of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was, you know, our Jesus Christ was arrested by the voice of mercy. And mercy said, and he looked and said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Do you know that as you cry for mercy, heaven will also open for you. We've heard that even if you think what you have done before are standing against you, you can cry for mercy. You can cry for mercy. That blind man, he knew he wasn't worthy to receive help from the Lord. But he was just saying, Jesus, have mercy upon me. 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 If this is the only thing that you can cry upon, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. 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 Lord Jesus, have mercy. Connect yourself to the place of prayer. Connect yourself to the place of mercy. Connect yourself to the throne of grace and cry for mercy. My brother, my sister, do not just sit down there. Cry for the, let the, that the cry originate from your hearts. Let the cry, Lord Jesus, let mercy, let mercy, let mercy, let mercy flow. Let mercy flow for my life. Let mercy open door. Let mercy, oh God, help me. Let mercy give me a way. Let mercy help me. Let mercy, Lord, I know I'm not qualified, but let your mercy speak for me. Let your mercy speak for me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Concerning all these matters, Lord, concerning these things, concerning these issues, oh God, Lord, I know we are looking at who is the most qualified. Lord, I'm not worthy, but let mercy speak. Let mercy speak. Let mercy speak, Lord. Oh Lord, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is our sincere cry today. Let mercy speak for this assembly. Let the mercy of the Lord speak for every brother, every sister that is hearing this message. Let mercy speak for our lives. Let mercy speak, O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Even when an accuser comes, let mercy speak. Even when they say, we are not qualified for this blessing, Lord, let your mercy speak. Let your mercy prevail. Let your mercy prevail. Let your mercy, O God Almighty, silence the enemy. Silence the voice of accusers. Silence the voice of the wicked. Let mercy speak. Let mercy speak. This is our prayer this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Shall we rise up again? We take that song that our pastor, Pastor Potwala, raised. That song again. Just as I am, without one plea, I come. Oh, Lamp of God, you are beating me. So, Lamp of God, I come. Lamp of God, I come. Lamp of God, I come.
Just as I am.
Can you raise your hands, your two hands before the heavens? Raise your two hands before heaven. It's an indication of absolute submission and crying that, Lord, there's no other help anywhere. You are the only one that can help me. Yes. Come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come two more times, just as I am,
just as I am
without one plea. A sincere cry.
Just as I am without one plea.
There's no plea.
For thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me.
Father, thank you very much because you will not send us back. You will not send anyone that has come to you this morning. In the secret of our hearts, in the sincerity of our spirit, as many, O Lord, that are claiming and crying for mercy, Lord, over their lives. Many that have gone away, many that have gone astray, and they are saying, Lord, I'm coming back home. This morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the reason of your mercy, Lord, accept your children. Accept every life, O Lord. Father, in your mercy, Father, Lord, have mercy and forgive. Pardon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As many that have taken wrong steps, as many, oh Lord, that they have gone on their own way, thinking that they are smart, thinking that, Lord, believing that they are intelligent, and intelligence has not led them, has not taken them far. It has not led them to anywhere. Father, as we cry unto you this morning for mercy, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let the time of refreshing come upon every one of us. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as many of us, oh God, that we've thought that there's no way again, and we have written ourselves off over the needs, over issues in our lives, over challenges, Father, today we plead for mercy. Let mercy, Lord, through the power of your mercy, Lord, that made you to draw Bartimaeus unto yourself, Lord, let this power of mercy draw us again unto yourself and have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon the needs of your people. Let mercy answer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much, because it is mercy, on the ground of mercy, Lord, that your people, Lord, we enter into a new year 2021 with joy and gladness, because mercy shall speak for everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, because no one we enter into the new year with sorrow, with unfulfilled dreams, with unfulfilled expectations. In the name of the Lord Jesus, no one, in the name of Jesus, no one will go, will leave this year disappointed. In the name of Jesus, we will, Lord, give you the glory and praise. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed.